Hey Mama, I'm Shaz, a millennial mama of two and editor at Sassy Mama. Join me as I get the scoop on all things parenting, kids, and family life in Singapore. Welcome to Sassy Mama Unfiltered. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's been a while since we last chatted, and since our last episode, a lot has changed. I am now a newly minted mama of two, and it's been quite the wild ride. Like, seriously, why didn't anyone tell me how hard it would be to have a baby who loves sleeping while simultaneously having a toddler who loves to make noise at all hours of the day? Like, it's just cruel. But enough about me. We are now ready to kick off the new season. Today, we're speaking to mama of four, soccer wife to Baihaki Kaizan, former actress and founder of Spa by Noor Fasari and Moza Aesthetics, Noor Fasari!
Hi.
Hi. Thank you so much for coming on Sassy Mama Unfiltered. We're so happy to have you today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. Last time we chatted was actually around 2017 when we did an interview for you.
Oh, wow.
Yes, with...
My number three is just barely 1 year old.
Yes, exactly. Your kids were a lot younger. It was in your old house.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
A beautiful home. And, you know, you were still just a mama of three. You've got one more in the mix now.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Your brood has expanded. Now you're a family of six. It's amazing.
Yeah, I'm done.
Yeah. You're done.
I'm done. Okay. So done.
Done already.
Yeah.
So, of course, a lot of changes professionally and personally for you. What have you got going on recently?
So, during COVID, I got pregnant.
So you got a COVID baby?
Yeah, I got a so-called like a COVID baby.
Yes.
Because I think at that time also my husband came back and like decided to settle down and retire. And at that point of time, my number one was taking his PSLE. So baby happens.
Right. It's like one go, one come.
Yeah. Yeah, so now with now there's six of us. Myla.
Yes.
She's turning two in May.
Wow.
So fast, right?
Yeah. Your first one is now 13, Mika.
Yes.
Mika is 13.
Mika is turning 14, sec 2.
Wow.
Secondary 2, yes.
Oh my goodness. Okay, he's turning 14. And then Moza, your second, is...
Moza is taking PSLE this year. It's the big year for her.
It must be nerve-wracking. How are you managing it with her?
I think I got the first one, right? So with Mika, I think being the boy, I mean, it's not fair for me to set like a benchmark because boy is very different from girls.
Yes.
So with Moza, I'm a bit more relaxed because I'm like, okay, I've done this.
Yeah.
You know, because at that point of time, I was pregnant and I did it.
Right.
So, and I'm like, okay. With Moza, yeah.
Yeah, you got this.
I've been there, done that, you know. So, and with Moza, it's slightly different in the sense that she's more independent in a sense.
Okay.
I think being girls.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they are more maybe proactive or independent. I don't need to like, you know, make sure that she does her things. She's kind of like automatic, you know, like just go back home, put her stuff and then, okay, I need to do this. And when she's done, that's when she relax and do other things. Yeah.
Yeah.
With boys, it's totally the opposite. I mean, I can tell the difference because boy, girl, and then boy again, right?
Yes.
So it's very funny. When I got pregnant, right, with Myla, inside my heart, I was like, oh, please don't let it be another boy. Because, you know, I don't know. I feel that raising boys a bit more challenging. Yeah.
But
so,
you've got, you know, the best of both worlds.
Two of each. So it's kind of, when I got to know that Myla is going to be a girl, I was like, okay, you know, at least Moza got something to play with. Moza got something maybe in the future, like a sisterhood and all that. And
yeah.
I'm quite
they
blessed.
They look like best friends.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
They are so far apart.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Yeah.
So basically, they're about 12 years apart.
Yes, exactly.
About 10 years apart, sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how is the relationship between your eldest boy and your younger boy, Mika and Muaz?
Well, boys being boys, although it's quite far, but they play together and all that. Yeah, so it's still we are still quite tight-knit.
So, right. Yeah. How is he adjusting to no longer being the baby in the family?
Oh, wow. That's pretty tough. Mm. Because I think he is the... my number three, Muaz, I breastfed him like 2 years plus.
Wow.
And it's like really full on. No latching, no bottles, no formula, no mixed.
Straight from the source.
Straight, yeah, straight up, you know. So he's really like a, I would say that Muaz is really mommy's boy.
Mm.
So like, mommy, every time until now, mommy, I want to sleep with you. Oh. Now being P1 this year, he's already
P1. P1 this year?
Yeah, he's in P1. Goodness. And then he's like, I want mommy, you know, mommy, why when I play football, I fall down, why you never come to me? I'm like, how can I go to the field? And yeah, but I'm your son, you know. Yeah, I know that. But, you know, you have to pick up yourself up. Yeah.
Right.
So he is still, you know. Yeah, he's still adjusting. And he still feel that, you know, mommy. And then sometimes, you know, he will just put his finger right under my armpit and just to like, you smell so good, mommy.
I feel that's a boy thing.
Yes, yeah. It's a boy thing, yes.
I
so they are very attached in that sense.
I hear that a lot. You know, the hand going in these places everywhere.
Then I'm like, no, you're P1, you're 7 years old, you know. Yeah, so Muaz is very, very attached to me.
Right.
So when I gave birth to Muaz, I could feel that I couldn't do a lot of things compared to Myla.
Mm-hmm.
So when Myla is unexpected, right?
Yes.
Or accident, right?
So, a happy accident.
Yeah. It's she's an unexpected baby because I took contraceptive and I was that 1% of population that my contraceptive doesn't work on me.
Oh my goodness. No, okay, this is dangerous. I've been hearing more and more stories like this.
Yes.
Oh my God.
So I was on pill for about a year.
Right.
And then, you know, when you are on contraceptive pill, your menses are not regular, right?
Yes.
So I was like, okay. And then I was busy because at that point of time, Moza Aesthetic, we moved from Haji Lane and Arab Street, we moved to Far East Plaza.
Mm.
So I was busy carrying lights, you know, carrying paint. I wanted to set up the whole thing.
Thinking nothing about it.
Yeah. I was just like, okay, my menses is regular. So, you know, and I'm always the kind who my menses is quite on time or, you know, earlier. So after I still remember very clearly, it was like Friday. I was doing launching. So it was Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the full on with heels. So I was like, you know,
you were launching
welcoming our clients, our customers, our new premises,
to the spa,
right?
Yes.
Yep. So on Monday I was like, okay, why am I so tired? You know, I'm like, I've been eating like a lot, but I'm just so tired today. Then I was thinking, okay, it must be the 3 days because I was on heels, you know, and all that.
Back to back.
Yeah. And then I'm like, shall I just go and grab
a test kit
at Watson at Far East Plaza itself? Because I was about to go to work, right, again.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, okay, let's test it in the toilet.
Yep.
When I tested, line is so... No, gold. I took the cheapest one. I didn't take the first to 3 months, the one, whatever right. signs
yes,
they have
yes,
it, right?
Yes.
I took the cheapest one and I'm like, but a bit pricey, you know, when you go to like Watson like, oh my God, pregnancy test kit, what am I doing here? You know, I feel like not married.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, that kind of feeling, like,
you
so
just
weird.
Feel like a long time ago.
Correct,
like, yeah. I can't believe you're back here. Okay.
Yeah, and then I'm like, no, because I was quite clear that, you know, okay, with Muaz, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
With three and all that.
You're happy.
I'm
complete,
happy.
Yes.
I'm contented. Okay, I want to do a lot of things that I, you know, before I turn 40.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to do so many things and all that. I'm supposed to be done before I turn 40. And then before I turn 36, I would give birth at 35, 34. So I'm like, okay. And then, so I saw the two lines and
it was
freak
like,
out.
No lying. It's definitely.
Yeah. So my mother, the first thing I did was not to call anybody, but to call my gynae.
Right.
So my gynae was, like, can I speak to her? I said that. And then, because I was quite close to my gynae, right? Mm. Because I had all the three,
same
gynae.
One.
Yes.
Right.
So I told her, I'm pregnant. I said that. That's it. Then she was like, but you took the pill, right? I said, yeah. Then I'm like, I'm coming over now. I say that, can you squeeze a time for me? Just half an hour. I think I'm going for an abortion. Oh, I actually said that. Wow. I said that I'm not ready, and also because I'm on pill, so I don't think it's gonna be a healthy pregnancy. I told her that.
You were trying to tell yourself that also.
Yeah, I said that cannot be. It's a healthy pregnancy. I'm on pill for one whole year.
Right.
So it cannot be, you know. And then when I got there, she was like, "Oh no, you know, I don't do abortion, you know, and all that. And because, you know, do you know that, you know, during this COVID period, there's a woman over 40 give birth to number 5, number 6. I'm like, wow. What's happening?
Right.
I think all of us were quite relaxed, right? Stay at home, yes. Do nothing.
Yeah, suddenly all the possibilities were, yes. You know, presenting themselves, yeah.
All the Netflix.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's when I said, okay, you know, and then she's like, okay lah, before you decide on anything, let me just, let's have a look. How far are you?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the catch, right?
Right.
So when my thinking was, I probably could be 1 or 2 weeks. There was no heartbeat. I was just thinking, must be 1 or 2 weeks. No heartbeat, nothing, you know. It was just a lump, you know. Right. Okay, I'm pregnant, okay. I mean, at that point of time, probably it's easier for me to say, okay, I'm just going to abort
terminate
it, you know.
Yeah,
or terminate the pregnancy.
Yeah.
But then, after that, when she did a scan, and I look at the screen, I'm like, oh my God. The heartbeat was so strong. And she's at the right position. It's like, wow, in the center. I'm like, how can this be?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and I'm like, and then she's like, it's already almost 11, 10 plus, almost 11 weeks.
Wow, and you didn't realize at all.
I didn't realize at all. I'm like, oh wow. And
almost 3 months pregnant.
Correct. Yeah. And I'm just like, I've been taking the pill as usual. And she said, looks like the pill doesn't work on you. And look at, you know, it's a healthy pregnancy because the heartbeat was so strong, doom. And then I'm like, I look at her, I say that
there's no denying it.
Yeah, and I don't think I can, you know, it's already there, you know, and the heartbeat is so strong, it's so healthy.
Did you suddenly feel that like maternal bond that you thought you didn't have, but suddenly when you heard it, you suddenly did?
Yeah, it's like, you know, okay, you know, it's like, okay lah.
Now you're attached to it. Yeah.
I cannot, because the heartbeat was, like I said, it was just there,
right.
And like people say, it's God's gift to you. So I told my gynae, say, yeah, I'm welcome, you belong to the 1%. If the pill doesn't work on you, probably even the whatever, you know, it still won't work. The IUD and all that is still, so you are that 1%.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
very fertile.
Mine not happens.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I mean, she is the cutest little baby.
Yeah.
She's like a doll. Seriously.
Correct. Yeah.
She's so cute. I mean, of course, I think I can resonate with that, like, you know, the feeling of you're not sure if you're ready, especially after having 3.
Yes.
You know,
and a business, and you know, I just want to settle down and everything, like, I just want to reopen and start everything, like a reset, you know.
Yeah.
And He is telling me that, okay, reset with a baby.
In that sense. Was there like an adjustment or acceptance period for you?
It was pretty tough because I think after 35, even I'm not, the gap was 5 years, right, between Moaz and Myla.
Yeah.
It's still, like I say, it's still, I think because of the age.
Right.
Even I've given birth 3 before, it's still quite tough.
I think especially after you've given birth to 3 before.
Correct. And also after 35, everything starts to slow down.
Changes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a lot of risk in that sense. Sometimes I do have bleeding and, you know, vomiting and all that. Yeah. But but I get through that, and I think she's just such a blessing in our life. Although she's keeping me busy now. Extra busy. But I never thought, you know, every time when I go around and I'm like, oh, I have 4. And then I was like, did I just say 4?
You still haven't realized.
Yeah. It's just like, until today, I can't absorb the, I'm a mommy of 4.
Right.
Oh my God, that's a lot.
But you always seem like you've always been open to having like a huge family. Like you still joke with Baihaki about, should we try for number 5?
I don't come from, both of us, it's like, there's only 3 of us, you know, 3 siblings, and then Baihaki is only 3 siblings. But I love babies. During that, I mean, this stage is the best stage to actually, I love this stage, basically, baby, yeah. Toddler stage, right. Yeah. It's just that I feel that number four, so I did some calculation and I told, okay, by the time she's taking her PSLE, Mika, you already 23, you go and teach her tuition, mm-hmm. because I don't think I want to fork up more money.
Yeah,
I say that, you know, Mika and Moza, you gotta teach her PSLE, man. I'm like, I'm not gonna fork up tuition, thousands of dollars, you know, I'm gonna work again, like, until,
yeah.
So that was my calculation. And since I got married, I've been telling by, you know, I've always wanted to have baby at a certain age.
Mm.
And that's why I decided to start at 35, but Myla came in.
Yes.
Because I want to grow together with them. Yeah. So that's the nicest feeling, you know. Yeah.
Okay lah, but now you've got, you know, your family is has expanded to a good size that you are finally good with now.
So I always joke, you know, I came from a big house, so I downgraded to a condo, and then now I need space.
Yeah.
I thought at that point of time, because I have space, I'm like, oh,
it was too much space.
Yeah, too much space. And being my husband is not around and all the time, I'm like, oh, there's only three of us, you know.
Yeah.
But now when I'm back and, you know, my husband is like finally settling down in Singapore, and we're like, okay,
the
now
house
we
is crowded
are.
Again.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, it's so crowded.
So how's everything with Bai? Like, you know, he's done playing.
Yes.
But now is he coaching now?
No, he's not. He's
okay.
In the management.
Mm-hmm.
So he's working with the federation now, with our football federation.
Right.
Yeah. So I think it's a very different corporate and being a player and also a corporate life. So I think he's already his second year now.
Mm.
He's still adjusting in that sense, but I think he likes it because he's still, you know, very actively involved in football.
Yes.
Which is not like a big jump of career. Mm. You know, he has been playing for more than 20 years, and then suddenly if you join something else,
of course.
You know, be a property agent or be something else, probably he will like, oh my God, I'm so lost.
Right.
But this one is not so much. And I think he has contributed so much to the country, right? In that sense, he knows the game very well.
Yeah, the ins and outs. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. So it's an advantage for him to be there.
Yeah,
for our Singapore football.
Yeah, he looks very at home still, you know, even though he's not on the field anymore, even if it's behind a computer screen, he's very at home. Yeah.
But now I'm complaining. I'm still like, you got your tummy area, you better keep fit, go and running.
The dad bod is coming in. Oh, no.
I'm like, you know, you have to sit in the office and you makan, you better hit the gym or like do running, because, you know.
Right. Does he ever get, you know, does he feel the difference in, like, you know, he was active last time. Now he's suddenly in the office a lot.
Correct, yeah. And then I keep on telling him, and then he's like, you know, I've been running more than 20 years of my life. Can you just let me relax a bit? I say, yeah, but you gotta maintain.
The break is probably very welcome for him.
Yes.
So your son Mika,
yes.
Your firstborn, is following in the daddy's footsteps.
As much as I want to stop him or want to, like, you know, can you try something else? It's
in the blood, lah.
Yeah,
it's in the blood.
I can't control it. Yes.
And recently, you know, he actually spent a whole month away.
Correct.
Oh my gosh,
that was
in
tough.
Spain. Right? Yes, you were. Yeah. You know, you looked distraught. Honestly, like, you know, your firstborn going overseas on his own at 13 years old.
Yes,
it was a month long in Spain, right?
Yep, it was a project that from our Singapore government, Unleash the Raw. So they send maybe 11 or 13 boys there, but they are all 13 years old.
Wow.
And it was, I feel that it's a bit too long. It's one whole month.
Right.
So we already booked for our holiday. We wanted to go to Turkey.
Ah, I see. Yes.
And then this thing came, right? So we were like, of course he got excited, he go for trials and all that, and then he said that, okay mommy, I got selected, you know. So we have to cancel his Turkey trip.
Mm.
And then we said that, okay, you know, at this period mommy is just going, we're going to Istanbul, Turkey. And then he said, yeah, it's okay, I'll enjoy myself in Spain and all that. Yeah, but I think the reason it's so difficult for me to let go, because I think everyone who knows me know that I'm very much of a very intense person. I like to be in control,
right?
and suddenly I have to let go something that is so, like, one heart is like, one quarter of the heart is being taken away, and like, don't know go where, you
of
know?
Of course, yeah. And yes. You don't have visibility correct. Of like what is exactly is happening.
Yes, correct. Right, yeah. Right. So my husband was like telling me, but you travel so much, you know. I say, yeah, but because he traveled with me, and we are all together in this, you know. But now he's being like away, and I know it's something. It's like something good,
yeah.
You know, something, and it's like a good exposure for him and all that. But it's, I don't know how to explain that. He, for the full 13 years of his life, he was never like being away, you know, not even one night and all that. Suddenly, not even camp, because I think during COVID period they stopped the camp for primary 5 and all that.
Yes.
So basically, he's right under my nose all the time. Yes. Suddenly, he's like packing and saying, okay, I'm going for one whole month, and it was quite tough. Aww. But it was nice. After that, we were, you know, at first I was like, okay lah, let's just let him concentrate, and you know, and because we brought our helper to Turkey, which doesn't require visa, so then my husband said, I think let's go and visit him. Let's give him a surprise visit.
Yeah.
So that happens. I have to put my helper in Turkey.
Oh, she had to stay behind for
yes.
a bit. Oh wow. Okay.
Because in Spain, in Europe, you require extra visa.
I see.
And it takes some time. Yeah. You know, you can't like just apply it and get it instantly. Mm, yeah.
Right. Okay.
So it was nice. It was nice. Okay. He was crying. Aww. At first, he was like, "Am I dreaming? You guys are supposed to be in Turkey." You know, he like giving us a double take. Then after that, the minute I you know, he came to me and then I said that, how are you? That was just the only sentence I said. How are you? Wow, that's it.
The waterworks started. Yeah, yeah. Oh wow.
Yeah, I didn't want to say anything. Didn't
sweet. But it's so nice to see him being so vulnerable, you know, like, you know, teenagers, you don't think that they will be so open to sharing their emotions like that.
Yeah. I think that's the thing with us, for me and my husband, we like them to express, especially to talk about it.
Yeah.
Not to keep it.
Yeah.
Put in, lock the room and do, you know, if you are happy, you tell me about it.
Yeah.
We talk about it. You know, if you are sad, you have to, that is the thing that we have always been practicing. Mm. So they are not shy to cry. They are not shy to say that they're angry, or, you know, tell them what are their feelings, or they want, can ask me anything about anything. That's the bond that I think we have created since they were very young,
and they have a very open relationship with you guys.
Yeah,
yeah. That's really good.
Yeah.
So even with your second one, Moza, you know, you were saying she's coming into her teenage years.
And now is the hormonal period.
Yes, a highly hormonal period.
Yes,
we've been
oh
there.
My God. I'm like, it's so funny, you know, because got one time, I think because my husband is so used to talking to Mika, so rough, so direct to the point. And then, you know, when it comes to girls, teenage girls, so it's like very different, very funny. So she was asking something, and then my husband was saying something so direct, no, with no emotion or something. And then he's like, you don't mean that, right? Like, you know, or my husband said something, then she's like, okay, you know, like she just walked away, that kind.
Right.
Yeah, my husband like, what did I say?
Yeah. Oh no.
I'm like, you know, right? You have to talk to a girl like a girl. Mm. I said, this is not a football team. You really have to. I know that's how you talk to your friends or your son or whatever, but you know, with Moza, I see, but last time she's not used to be like that. She's a very nice girl, okay, like she will just laugh it, you know, but now why I cannot say this?
Yeah, a bit of a sensitive soul.
Correct.
Actually,
then I'm like, okay, you know, right, she's going through this phase, which is quite a difficult phase for us.
Right.
But, you know, but we manage.
Yeah.
We manage, yeah.
Well, she still seems like such a confident, charismatic girl. You know, despite...
very outspoken.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she's such an amazing... Like, there's so much confidence in her. We know that she has, you know, her condition, amniotic band syndrome.
Correct.
It has never stopped her from doing, you know, all the amazing things that she has achieved.
Yeah.
How is it like managing, you know, her disability and also just everyday life now, like in this time?
Sometimes we as a family, we look her as like,
just a normal
girl.
Yeah.
And then sometimes we just forget, you know, oh my God, she cannot be carrying that, you know, like, okay, come, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's one thing about her that I'm glad we created that since she was very young, in the sense that you know, I'm going to treat you like a normal.
You don't see her differently.
Yeah, yeah. I don't see her differently. Mm-hmm. If you are naughty, I'm going to scold you. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say that, oh, you are, I mean, you and your brother is the same. Yeah, you are naughty. I'm going to, like, you know, reprimand you and all that. Yeah. So we, since very young, we expose her. And we don't treat her like she's special. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even though I think she is special, right? Yeah. But I was just like, put on your own shoes. Mm-hmm. Do it yourself and yes. do other things yourself. Right. I say that, yeah. no? Because nobody going to help you. And it was tough when she was, at that time, I think, wanted entering primary one and all that. That's when I have to, as a mom, I have to let go in a sense that, you know, you have to toughen up yourself. Mm-hmm. I cannot be always protecting you. Right. I cannot be always backing you up and say that, oh, okay, I'll talk to the mother or you. You know, so you have to toughen up yeah. and handle this situation yourself. Yeah. That's how we actually built her character, her personality.
Yeah.
And when she was young, I put on swimming costume, out there, go for a swim in a public pool, go for ballet lessons, just go, you know? Because no matter what, people will still stare. No matter what, people will still ask. And that's how she gonna live. Sometimes now I still ask her, so how do you feel when the P1s, because now she's in P6, right? Mm. So she's like, kakak, really.
Yes,
She's like, sister, I said, what do you feel with the P1s is looking at you, pointing at you, or asking you? Sometimes they even want to touch, because it's something different.
Yeah,
I mean, kids are curious.
Yeah.
So then she's like, now she's like, no, it's okay. They can touch. You know, you can just come to me. Yeah. So if they're pointing at you, I say, it's okay. I'm so used to it.
Mm.
Yeah. She's like that now. But it's just that now, I think because going through the hormonal period, she's a bit more sensitive. This is the period that actually our professor who treated her, not treated her, like consult her, consulted him.
Yes.
To ask us to prepare us to stand by in the sense that because she is not mentally disabled, she is just physical.
Yes.
And to girls, it means a lot, right?
Right.
You know, you want to look good, you want to wear certain thing. So the prof actually told me that, you know, it's very different from a disabled or mentally disabled kids because they don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Only the parents are going to be sad. Oh, look at my daughter or son, you know.
They don't have the mental awareness.
Correct.
That she probably.
Yes, correct. Yeah, but it's different with her. Mm. And it's going to be tough on you guys because you are sad looking at her.
Mm.
And she, because she is so, she's just like anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
She knows what's going on. So that's the period that probably you have to really be with her in a sense.
Has she ever expressed any like negative thoughts recently about that whole issue that you just mentioned?
Okay, so far not yet. I think being in girls' schools also play a part. She's
not
still
concerned about like boys.
Correct. So now she's still like, you know, okay, I want to look good, I want to dance, TikTok.
TikTok is a big thing. Yes.
Correct, yeah. But she is also, so we actually introduce her to a lot of other personalities in the world who is having the same things as her, like who actually go through life like her, get married, have kids and all that. Yeah, so she is aware of all these things, and that's one thing that I am thankful that we managed to build that character in her.
Yeah.
That she is so, I would say she is very persistent now. Very, she know what she wants.
Yeah, resilient.
Know what she wants. And she, you know, she will get it and all that. Yeah. She has a very strong personality, I would say.
Okay. You've encouraged the entrepreneurial spirit in your kids, just as you have, you know, done for yourself. Myla has her own brand now, Myla Moza, where she does accessories, and you have a whole section in your Moza Aesthetics shop front in Far East Plaza for her. How involved was she in the whole process of actually building that?
So, you know, at this point when I'm, because I've been in this Moza Aesthetic or Spa Bedafasari has been around for almost 12 years now. It's the same age as Moza.
Wow!
Yeah.
Right, of course. And the name, yes, it's in the name.
Yeah, it's in the name. So, and then after that, I was telling my husband, you know, okay, you are going to take care of the boys. You know, I'm going to take care of the girls. So I need to create something, you know, for Myla. And then I told Mozart, I have Mozart aesthetic already. Can I, you know, do this business? Because she came up with the idea. She said that, you know, mommy, I saw this TikTok girl. She was selling scrunchie. And then she bought a house for the parents.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's also a good point in browsing through TikTok.
Yes, yeah. Benefit, there's some perks to actually scrolling all through the endless videos.
Yes. So I looked through it and I say, so you want to do it? I said that, yeah, mommy, this was last year. It was middle of last year.
Right.
And then she said that, yeah, well, but, you know, I need to have PSLE next year and all that. But, you know, I like to do this kind of thing. So that keeps her creativity, right? So, and then she start drawing the logo and all that. Yeah. And then I said that, okay, why not? I'm going to tell you what to do. And then you write this on a paper and you present it to me.
Mm.
Yeah. That's, you know, you just don't tell me like that. I want you to properly, this is how you do it, your business plan, blah, 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 blah. So she take down notes and then she said, okay, mommy, I'm coming with a proposal, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, so that's how it started. And I think it's a good thing that she, I think it cultivate their creativity in that sense.
Yeah.
And then at that time it was COVID, and then she said that, you know, I want to design my own jewelry and all that. So I said that, you know, a lot of countries are closed now, the borders are still not open, so we cannot explore other countries to do it, but we'll try to start it, start with small. Probably we just buy,
yeah,
and then we do trading and all that, and then you choose what you like and all that, and then we see how it goes from here.
Yeah.
So she's in the sense that she got very excited, and then at one point she was doing the packing and all that, and then she's like, oh my, mommy is so tiring, you know. And then I was like, yeah, this
now
is how
you know.
Yeah, now you know. I have, sometimes I don't have time, sometimes I'm on the phone and you were talking to me, sometimes I say, okay, give me 1 minute, you know. This is how, all the things that is playing in my mind.
Yes,
I said that, yeah.
Yeah,
so it's tough, you know. It's not easy if you want to have a certain lifestyle, or you want to be somewhere. This is the hard way that you have to do it. You know, you can't like be complaining and someone else. No, the thing is still be there.
Yeah.
So you have to do it, and you have to find balance. That's when I'm teaching her how to find balance. And probably, okay, you have to do your work first, and then she know what is priority and what is not.
Right.
Yeah, she there's a lot of values that she can learn out of doing this business, which
yeah,
I think it's great for her. But now also she is busy with PSLE, and she is going through Paralympic swimming.
Mm, yes.
So she is focusing on that as well.
Wow.
So it's something that I was telling her, you know, I've been juggling a lot of things since I was young, so this is your time.
Mm.
So please take care of your time, you know, do it properly, balance it out. What is priority first, and then you will understand.
That's amazing. Has she ever
discipline, basically, yeah, as the discipline of time? Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. And managing and all that.
Yep.
I mean, like, there's a lot of projects to take on for one little girl. Yeah. Has she ever felt overwhelmed or expressed to you that maybe she wants to stop one of the things, or
The thing is, she is quite passionate about it. Yeah, I think if you are like myself, it's 4 kids and a business and few other businesses. If you don't have passion, I would have left like long time ago.
Right.
So that is the thing. I think she loves beauty.
Mm.
She loves creativity. She loves swimming as well. She's quite athletic in that sense. So she has passion for that. It's not like she had to drag herself and all that. She plays the piano and all that. Yeah. So it's something that I think it's a good training as well, because, you know, like us, all of us, we are working, we are a mother, we are doing so many things at the same time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, why not cultivate this character in her?
Yeah, prepping her for the future of multitasking.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, of course. I mean, like, you and your kids live a beautiful life. So many opportunities. You know, your son, you know, is following the daddy's footsteps. Your daughter is also following your footsteps, going into business and all that. How do you keep them humble and actually, like, instill gratitude?
I'm going to share something that I think I've never spoken to anybody. I mean, I've spoke to my friends, I spoke to my family, but
not publicly.
Yeah, it's just something that I wouldn't say that my kids are going through a tough time. No, it's just that, you know, because we are in a public eye. For example, Mika is following his daddy, right?
Yeah.
So we always remind him, Mika, if you think you are going for that trial, you have to work harder than other boys in that room,
right?
Or on that field, because people will just judge you. Actually, you are no good, Amika, but because your father is in the Federation, you probably get passed. Mm. Yeah, so we get that a lot, mm. And that also builds. I feel that builds their character in that sense. So I told him that this is something that you have to live, and then and you want to do this, continue your father's legacy. So you must be really good, or you must really work extra hard than every other boys in that on that field.
To show that you are worth.
Yes,
you know,
not because
space,
you are Baihaki's Kaizan's son, mm-hmm. and then, you got in because you are Baihaki Kaizan's son. It's a natural for someone. So, so it's actually putting us in a tough position as well.
Yeah.
But but it's something that we cannot avoid. It's something that that we keep on telling our children that, you know. Sometimes randomly I will just ask them, how does it feel that when people know who your parents are, or when you go outside, people want to take picture with you or mommy and all that? Do you feel there's more pros or cons? And then they say, yeah, sometimes, you know, it's quite easy for me to just enter a new room because they know who I am.
Mm.
But at the same time, mommy, sometimes they will judge me. They will think that, actually I'm not good. Yeah, they will say. No, kids will say. I mean, friends and all that. Yeah. Although sometimes they don't mean it and all that, but it hurts them, right?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, because he feel that, actually I'm not good enough, but actually my daddy put me in. You know, that kind of thing.
Mentality. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's when I told them, so you must always remember, no matter how or what you're going to do, always be humble. Yeah, do not treat people differently. Always work hard. I said that, you know, so that, you know, you prove these people that you actually deserve that spot, not because it's through your father. Yeah, that's the only thing that we always have to remind them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you are raising some really good-natured, like, kind kids, I think. Yeah.
Not religious. I mean, at home, yeah. No. I know them the best.
Right, of course. But I mean, they're all so personable and they seem so self-aware. They're so young. But, you know, being in the public eye, like you said, they are aware about, you know, being outside and knowing that people know who they are. But at the same time, having that awareness to be humble enough, you know, to actually work harder than everybody else. That's amazing. Yeah, yeah. So let's go back to, you know, your early marriage life. You actually lived abroad for a few years before you finally settled in Singapore properly. What was it like living abroad with
a toddler?
Yeah.
A baby.
Yes.
He was still a baby. He was only 3 months old.
Ah, right.
Mika grew up. So basically, Mika grew up in Jakarta, in Indonesia, because my husband was playing for a club there. And then when I got Moza, and then I said that, okay, now we have two. I think it's best for me to just stay put in Singapore, and then you just travel whatever the club needs you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was kind of tough. Me being a new mom, there's no social media at that time, only BB pin. Blackberry.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember Blackberry pin? Can I have your Blackberry pin, please?
Okay, so I never had a Blackberry. I knew about them.
You are so much younger than me then.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I mean, my time was like the newer Nokia phones. The very cool, like twisty music ones that you see in the music videos. Yeah, that one. Right.
Yeah, and then there's no video call. You know, having a laptop and FaceTime, it's very rare. So it was kind of tough, especially when I'm a new mom. And, you know, I've been, all my life, I've been like working. Since secondary school, I do part-time acting. I did part-time singing gig. And suddenly, and then I flew at probably 7. I barely 18 years old when I joined Singapore Airlines as cabin crew. Mm. So I've been working, and then suddenly I got pregnant. I got married, I got pregnant, and I need to stop and, you know, just be a full-time housewife.
Wow.
I could say that it's very tough.
Yeah.
You know, especially you have been traveling, you have seen the world. I flew for about 6 years, almost 7 years.
Right.
So
it was very much like go, go, go.
Correct. And that's suddenly, like, I cannot be staying at home and then just do nothing, right? Mm. You know, but I was raising Mika at that point of time, and I think I was very supportive. I hope I was very supportive of my husband, and then for being there for him and all that. And then after that, it was, I still remember, I don't know whether it's still postnatal blue, but I still remember it was just about 2 months and we were just packing.
Mm.
And then, you know, I couldn't cope. Suddenly, because I was all alone.
Right.
And then,
and this was you packing to go to Jakarta?
To go to Jakarta slowly.
Yeah.
And then, you know, my friend decided to just come over. And then, she was like, "Are you okay?" And then I'm like, I started crying. I said that, you know, I need help. You know, I cannot manage this, you know, and because I just had a baby and I need to move,
of course,
to a new, and I have to make friends, and I'm not like myself, because you are a new mother, right?
Yeah,
it's very tough when you
so
are a new
much
mother.
Changes.
You just feel that you are not yourself anymore.
Yeah.
You just feel that, you know, this is not me. This is not something that I want to do, you know. So, but you know, at the end of the day, your spouse is very important.
Yeah.
It's and also the people around you, your family, they are the biggest support system. And I was lucky because my mom, I'm the firstborn, right?
Mm.
So my mom also got me when she was she was very young.
Mm.
She probably about 19 or 20.
Wow.
So she's still young at that point in time. She understands, you know, and that's where the support comes in. And she said that it's okay. And I still remember she said that, you know what, we all party, right? Rest time.
Right, yeah.
And then, you know, I say that, you know, mommy, I just want to, mama, I want to go out, and can you just take care of my baby? Yeah. I remember it was like first 2 months after the confinement.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like myself. I'm still like with the smell, the minyak smell, you know, the oil smell,
yes,
and all that, because just massage and all that. But I just want to get out and, you know, just be with my friends and not think about anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that space is very important.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
To see yourself as something other than this new mother role. I think it's non-stop also, I think. Like, the moment you have the baby, you just are not being given a break. Like,
correct.
From beginning to end, 24/7.
Yeah, you want to go toilet like, also, you're like... Oh.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Especially with the first one, we are always so, you know, scared to put down. Like, when the baby starts crying...
Correct. We are not sure what to do,
yeah,
right?
Of
so, I usually tell my friends, you know, just ask.
Mm.
You know, it's ask for help. Ask for anything. You are not sure doesn't mean that you are not good enough or you are not prepared or whatever. No,
yeah,
just ask
yeah.
if you need something. You know, of course, there's someone will always be there to help you out. Yeah. So I think you need to be, like recently, I just gave birth to Myla, right?
Mm.
Because, like I say, she is unexpected baby,
right.
And the age gap is like 5 years.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm done, you know, I'm so done. And suddenly,
yes,
she came
exactly,
along.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I totally forgotten. I keep on telling my friends. My friend was like, why are you asking me this question?
And
I'm like,
know.
Yeah, you have three before you. And then I would tell them, no, I've erased that part of memory from my life.
Yes,
I just don't want to remember it
anymore. No, I'm sure. I'm telling you, I'm pretty sure like a part of our brain actually switches off that part to forget it. You know, it was a very
correct.
Dark period. I don't want to remember it anymore.
Yes,
push
yes,
it
yes.
far back.
Yeah, so it's normal, okay? We are normal.
Yes, yeah, it's totally normal.
Yeah, so I'm like, no, I forget about it. So I don't remember. So they're like, okay, they will tell you this. Say, oh, okay, thank you. Like, you know, it's funny. They were like, you have three.
Why
you
asking me?
Yeah, you are supposed to be more experienced.
Yeah,
yeah. But it's like that, you see. I told so it was that period, and then I got busy, and then with Myla and breastfeeding and all that, and then I do feel that period.
Yeah, life goes on.
It's okay. Yeah,
just remember that you had 4 kids.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
you are not meant to go back.
4 human, you know, out of this body.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and you've been feeding them, and now they are like big and going overseas.
Yeah.
And you know, going through all
that's why,
changes.
That's why I keep on telling my husband, you know, soon our nest is gonna be empty, which is true.
Yes.
Yeah, this period is always you don't feel it.
Yeah.
When you go through it, probably you feel like, oh my God, it's so long. You know, oh my God, my baby is crying at night. When is it going to stop? But no, when you look back, you're like, oh, it's just a phase.
The days are long, but the years are short.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. True. Yeah. It's just a phase. And then you're like, okay. They will outgrow it.
Yeah. Okay, so, you know, before we wrap up, of course, you are a very busy woman, addicted to work. You love your work.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And you are also a very hands-on mom at the same time. Yeah. Do you ever take the time to decompress?
Of course.
How do you do
I'm
it?
I'm human. I'm not a superhero.
Yeah. I mean, like, no, what we see is always the, you know, Norfa that's like, go.
Yeah, that's why that one filtered. Mm. This one is unfiltered.
Yes, this is unfiltered. So how do you actually, you know, take the time to rest?
To me, because I think I've been working for so long since I was, like, young, to me, going for work is actually a holiday.
Oh my goodness.
I treat that like a holiday where I get to get out and meet someone else, like meet new friends and, you know, meet my customers, meet clients and talk to them about anything else, but not, you know, at home and like
being faced with
kids.
Yeah. Being faced with the mom life. Correct, yeah.
But of course, sometimes I do, you know, guilt.
Mom guilt.
Yes,
a lot
mom
of
guilt.
It, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, everyone, I do feel sometimes that, like, oh my God, I have not done good enough for my, you know, oh my God, my P1. You know, now they have like a group chat and then, you know, oh, the mom will say, oh, I'm doing this.
I am
and
not
then,
ready for that.
Oh my God, yes.
I hear a lot of that,
yeah. Yeah, we have imagine I have four.
Yeah.
I have four emails. Now they call it Parents Gateway. Four different names that I need to check. And I cannot be doing that. You know, because I'm working.
Yeah.
And then also because I have four. You know, sometimes I do miss stuff. Yeah. But that's normal.
Right.
Yeah. And it's okay. Don't be too hard on yourself. Yeah. Sometimes you cannot pack lunch. Or sometimes I saw my friends, wow, early morning, can do star sandwich, do this, do that. But I can't do that. So do not pressure that on yourself. Because if you can't do it, just let it go.
Yeah.
Just accept the fact, I know, it's okay, I'm not that kind of mom. It's okay, you do you, okay?
Yeah. Good for you, but couldn't be me, I'm sorry.
I got no time to pack, go to the supermarket, no. Mm. Yeah, yeah. So it, sometimes I do feel like, oh my God, how come I miss this thing, miss this, that. But we are all human, we are trying our best.
Yeah.
We are trying our best to be a better mom. To be a better mom. We are all. It's just. It is a journey. Yeah. It doesn't mean that everything have to be flowing and perfect. Sometimes you miss injections. This injection, the 1 year old, so many injections, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's normal. Don't be hard on yourself. I think, that's one of the thing that I told myself. You know, once I had like number two, I'm like, okay, this is the time for me to let go. I cannot be in control of so many things. And there's no point when I go to have like a mom guilt. Why do I'm so hard on myself? You know, I've already given four, you know. It's time for me to just relax, go with the flow. It's okay. You forgot things. It's okay.
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, the kids still go to school. Life goes on.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, I do like, I still like my space in a sense. I still go out with my friends. I don't cut that. You know, certain parents is like, okay, because I have a very supportive husband.
Mm.
Yeah, I think you and your spouse must be aligned in this.
Yeah.
In that sense that, you know, he can have his space, I can have my space too. Because we just need it sometimes.
That time
just
to
go out. Yeah, just go out. Just feel good about yourself. Just do facial. Come to Moza Aesthetic.
Of course.
Yeah, just go for massage. Or sometimes if your friends are busy, you know, you tell your husband, you know, okay, maybe you can put your, if you don't have helper, you can put your kids at your mom for a while. Maybe just tell your mom, I need some 3 hours or 4 hours break. Can you just let me go out?
Yes.
And just be like, you know, find yourself again in a sense. Yeah,
I
think that's very important.
Yeah.
Date nights, some space for yourself. Yeah. And all that, yeah.
Super important. Yes, words of wisdom. Thank you so much, Norfa.
Thank you for having me.
You know, an amazing chat. You are really a force to be reckoned with. You have so many things going on. Four kids under your wing.
You know,
a beautiful family life. But yeah, somehow going to work is still the best thing for you.
Yeah, like holiday.
Thank you so much for coming. You know, to Sassy Mama Unfiltered. If you'd like to keep up with Norfa Sari, you can follow her on on Instagram. And of course, you know, check out her spa, Moza Aesthetics, yeah. Spa by Nofasari. You know, she's got all the amazing services for facials and all your treatment needs over there. So thank you so much, Nofa.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have any feedback or suggestions, do drop us an email at sassy@sassymamasg.com or find us on social media. We are Sassy Mama Singapore on Facebook and Sassy Mama SG on Instagram. This has been Sassy Mama Unfiltered.